and I like to start meetings on time, so we'd like to welcome everybody out tonight to the Town of Daniel Special Council Meeting, Wednesday, February 16th, 6 o'clock p.m. at the Wasatch County Service Building. This evening, we'll just go right to the agenda, and we'll start with agenda item number one, and that is public comment. And so we want to open this up to public comment. If you have a comment this evening, we'd like you to stand up and state your name and then have your comment with any discussion.
Is there going to be any public comment after the agenda number two?
There's going to be, there will be some questions asked, and there could be some questions asked.
Correct.
But from
us? They tell me whatever I decide to do, so.
What's that?
I said, I don't think there is any public comment about what, about the action that we're taking, or?
Well, I just have some thoughts on this new hire, and I need to know when to state it. I'd like to state it after.
I think now's the time.
After two, but if I need to do it now.
I would say we'd probably take care of that now.
Okay. I'm not very good at talking, but I'm going to do it because I think it needs done. I'm Ryan Simpson. I've lived in Daniel for about 8 or 9 years. Born right here in this hospital. I've thought about this, and I don't have any inside stuff going with this person, but I do feel like out of these applicants, and I'm sure you council people know and are competent enough, but I feel like out of these applicants, we've got one that stands way above the rest, and I feel like it was reflected in the last election. So really, I just wanted to know, to more or less say, you know, if we're doing what the people want, it's kind of in the writing. So that's all I wanted to say. We all know that's Stephanie Grady. So just my opinion, just thought it needed to be said.
No, I'd like to say something too.
Thank you.
Appreciate your comments, Ryan. The process of a democratic government is the energy and power rests with the people. That's the way it should be. And then people are elected to represent them. Hopefully, those people do a good job of sensing what the public wants and feeling public opinion. But in reality, it comes down to a choice and a decision. So anyway, thank you for your comments. But one thing I'd like to say, when I was campaigning, I had an opportunity to visit with a lot of people in the community. I knocked as many doors as I could find people home, and I didn't want to just hand out a flyer and talk to people. And one of the things that a lot of people told me is that they had heard that nobody wanted to work for the Town of Daniel, or nobody wanted to hold public office in the Town of Daniel, or nobody wanted to be on the Planning Commission. It was a real stretch to get people to join the agenda. And I think in these last few meetings, we've seen that, well, by golly, there are a lot of good people in this community who are willing to step up and roll up their sleeves and work. And for me, that just is very, very rewarding. So no matter what happens tonight, it will be democracy in progress and in process. And we'll all, we may not agree, but I would hope everybody would, you know, get behind whatever happens and move forward. Because what I'm seeing more and more is more people wanting to reach out and say, yeah, I want my hand counted, I want to speak, I want to have my voice heard, and, or I want to toss my hat in the ring, and I want to get involved. And for me, I can't tell you how rewarding it is, it's very satisfying. Public comment.
Is there any other public comments? Okay. What I thought we'd do tonight is each applicant has turned in a resume, so to speak, and what I want to do is I want to read those tonight, so that you guys all are aware of each applicant, and we're minus a couple of them tonight for family reasons and for medical reasons. And so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read these real quick, and then we're going to ask each applicant to come up to the podium, and we'll, as a council, we'll ask a few questions. You'll be able to hear their answers. We'll ask the same questions to each candidate, and then we'll move forward from there. So we have, this is from John Gladowski. It says, to the town clerk of Daniel, I, John A. Gladowski, would like to offer my services as a council member. I have been involved with the town from the beginning and
familiar
with most of the challenges. I feel that I could be an asset to the town of Daniel. And that's signed John Gladowski, which he asked, he has some medical issues and couldn't make it this evening. Our next application is from Stephanie Grady, and this is to the town of Daniel. Dear Mayor Kohler, Councilwoman Duggan, Councilman Pearson, and Councilman Blotter. I gotta pop this open a little bigger. That small print gets me. I read with interest the town's posting for the vacant council position. I believe I possess the necessary skills and experience you are seeking to fill the seat. I have just finished a four-year term as a council member for the town. I believe I have a lot of support from the constituents in the town of Daniel. I appreciate your consideration in the position. I am hoping to serve the town again, and know I will be a valuable member of the council. Please feel free to contact me with any additional questions that may arise. Respectfully, Stephanie Grady. The next one is from Barry Dixon. Says, to whom it may concern. My name is Barry Dixon, and I would like to submit my name for consideration for the opening on the Daniel Town Council. I look forward to the opportunity to participate with the council and serve those living in Daniel. My wife and I built our home in Daniel about 30 years ago and had the privilege of raising our five kids here. We have been active in the community, the schools, the church, and our neighborhood since moving here. We love it here. My work background includes management experience at all levels, from supervisor and manager of single locations to regional director and chief technical officer for locations across the U.S. and Canada. I have worked for regional, national, and international firms, as well as starting and managing three startup companies. I have experience with personnel and project management, along with facility design, build, and operation. I have dealt with government relations and regulations in many municipalities. I have hands-on experience with budget preparation and expense management, along with the numerous other details necessary to manage a business. Please consider me for the opening of the Daniel Town Council. Thank you, Barry Dixon. The next one is Joe Witt. It says, Town of Daniel. I, Joe Witt, am a resident of the town of Daniel and have made the town my personal home since 2014. I was raised in Heber Valley on 600 West and 700 South and now live on 3000 South at nearly the same 600 West coordinate, just 23 blocks south of my childhood home. I have been asked to put my name up for consideration for the vacancy on the Daniel Town Council to determine if I am the right person at this time to fill this position. I would ask for your consideration on the following attributes which I feel are my qualifications. My track record of what I have done since arriving in the town of Daniel. I have taken multiple properties which are unsightly and filled with abandoned trash and debris and have cleaned them up at my own expense without compensation. Why, some may ask? It is because that is who I am. By helping clean my neighbor's property, we both benefit, and in turn, also the town. I truly believe that I have made the town better than when I found it. I use Bruce Jensen and Dick Erickson Foundation as references to this. Number two, my ability to serve and simplify. I believe that complex problems need complex solutions, and simple problems need simple solutions. I have been applauded for this approach while serving on the National Home Builders Association Board of Directors in the Park City chapter, and use its president as a referral here. And this guy's name is Paul Montgomery. I can think at point number three, I can think critically of a situation and not be critical of the people. Deep down, I think all people are good, and if you can see a situation from their perspective, you can have a better understanding of what needs to be accomplished. The issues of the town are the issues of our neighbors. I feel we have a duty to be considerate of our neighbors. I use Rob Armstrong and Kip Bangeter as references in this. I believe I could do a good job in the service to the town. I also know there are many great people living here, and you have some great choices for candidates to fill the council seat. If I am the guy, great. If not, I trust you all will make a good decision, which I will support. That was Joe Witt. I think I skipped one. I'm back to it right now, and that was Bridger Wilds. To whom it may concern, this is to express my interest in being considered for a position on the Daniel Town Council. Some of my background was shared during the most recent council meeting, so I'll refrain from repeating it again. However, I feel it is noteworthy to share that I am a CPA and hold a master's degree in accounting, which based on the Utah Fraud Risk Assessment would provide an additional 30 points to the town's total on that assessment. I appreciate your consideration and would be happy to answer any questions or address any concerns that the town council may have for me. Sincerely, Bridger Wyatt. And so, as you guys can tell, we had five applicants, very, very good applicants, and tonight I'm thankful for the opportunity to read their agendas, and then we'll just move forward and ask a few questions right now. And so we'll just start right here in the front with Stephanie. Stephanie, if you'll come forward, and I'll give you a second or two to say anything that you'd like to say before we ask a question.
Everybody. Thanks for the nice words, Ryan. I'm very humbled. I'm Stephanie Grady, and I have lived here in Daniel, I think since 2014 as well. And I live over on Ranch Drive. I am president of Grady Enterprises, and we're in the mining industry. I have two foundries in the United States, and we sell custom wear products. Crusher liners, undercarriage, shovels, that sort of thing. So, anyway, I too know budgets. I run about a $20 million budget a year. So, Anyway, that's a little bit about me. I'm nervous. I've been doing this for 6 months and campaigning, and I still always get nervous when I get up and talk to everybody, so you'll have to excuse me, so.
Any questions, Mary or Rob? So I have a question, and I didn't want to cut Mary off, but I did. One question I have is what is your vision of the town of Daniel for the next 2 to 5 years? What do you see in the town of Daniel?
What I'd like to see is I am a firm believer in this RE5 zoning, but I do, after being on the council for 4 years, there's some things that need to be cleaned up. There are, I wrote some notes, so there's some lots that exist that don't conform to our current zoning. I think that those need to be cleaned up. I think that there needs to be more education in the town, in the people that are running the town. I'd like to see the townspeople, or the council, gain back the trust of the townspeople. I think it's been lost in the last 8 years. And I'd like to be a part of the transparency and bringing everybody back together.
My turn. So Stephanie, I'm wondering, as you're thinking here, I know this is putting you on the spot going first and everything,
okay,
but what do you see as the town's biggest hurdle that we need to cross? What do we need to work on the most?
I think the codes. I think that the codes all need to be looked at. I think there's some zoning issues. I think it's just kind of what I just said, Mary. I think that, you know, when I was out campaigning, people were mad. They were mad at the council. They were mad at the previous mayor. And I think we just all need to come back together and remember what the town of Daniel was about, you know.
Does your job require you to be out of town quite a bit? So would you be at meetings, or would you have to visit?
I've been to almost every meeting in the last 5 years, except for maybe 5 or 6. If that answers. And there's been times when I've been on vacation, but.
Mary asked my follow-up question to my first question, so I appreciate that she did that. We're thinking a lot alike, and so Stephanie, thank you for your time, and we'll go ahead and have you sit down now. And we'll
thank you very much.
We'll bring up, I see Barry there next. Barry, you come up. Give you a couple minutes to say whatever you'd like to say.
I know a good portion of you. Some of you I don't know, but I've lived here for about 30 years, but I've worked mostly out of town. I've spent a good time on the road. I used to work for a couple of national companies and a couple of international companies that kept me moving around quite a bit. But I kept my family here, and I even lived in Las Vegas for a while and commuted back and forth on weekends to keep my family here, because it was that important to me. I love Daniel. I've been coming up here since I was 12 years old. I grew up in Salt Lake. My background was mostly business, building business and keeping employees happy, and some of them not so happy, you know, dealing with some of those kind of things. I've been involved with the town a little bit in the beginning when the town was first created. But again, like I said, I've spent a lot of time out of town. I had the opportunity a couple of years ago of retiring, so I'm not out of town much anymore. Now I work for my wife, so I'm around quite a bit.
Don't we all?
Probably. It's a different kind of a situation that I'm used to, so it's interesting. I look forward to, even if I'm not selected, to still participating and helping with whatever I can help with. Like I said, I love this place, so.
Thank you. So I'll ask you the same question. What is your vision of the town of Daniel in the next 2 to 5 years? Where do you see Daniel?
A couple things. Things that have hit true to me when I've, you know, gone through the years here is that there are some issues with some codes. There are some issues with some lots. I live next door to one of those. There are some, you know, those kind of things should be cleaned up. And I don't know how you prioritize those, but that should be what the council should do, is say, here are the things we need to address. Let's prioritize and start, anyway, at least keep moving down that list. I see cleaning up some of that stuff, but I also see some involvement or keeping people informed of what's going on. So unless I go to that website right now, I don't know what's going on here unless I come to the meeting. Electronics are pretty amazing. That's been my whole life, data centers and electronics and networks and that kind of thing. It's pretty simple to blast out emails to everybody to say, here's the minutes from tonight's meeting. Instead, you have to come and get them. Just be very open with everybody. Let them know what's going on. Tell them when something's coming up. I need your input for whatever. So I think that's two of the primary things that I see, is cleaning up some of the codes and the zoning around a few lots here and there. And getting people more involved and communicating with each other. It should be simple. I mean, I've been in companies with 500,000-600,000 employees and we communicate. We should be able to easy communicate with this little town. So, anyway.
Well, my question again was, what do you think is the biggest priority? You're asking us to prioritize. What would you say is our biggest priority that you need to work on?
I would think I would start first with communication with people, because a lot of people have some pent up demand. They have some things that they want to see done and they don't feel like that's happening. So I probably want to address that first, since they're our neighbors. They're not some unknown people. They're not somebody from an office around the world somewhere. This is our neighbors. So let's figure out what we can do to address that kind of an issue first. But they know where the issues are in the community. They know which lots are weird. They know what odd things are in this place. We ought to be able to fix that, but we ought to know what they are first. So let's get them involved. Let's find out what they are. Let's ask them. Let's ask people what should we work on first? Find out what their priorities are. So,
do you have a good way of going about that?
Like I said, electronics are pretty amazing. At least you can start there, but there are a lot of people that don't feel comfortable with them. Most of us carry a phone in our pocket. I can communicate with probably 90% of the people within this town on their phones. There's that 10% that don't, and we gotta figure out how to approach those. It'd be like my mom. There's no way I'm gonna be able to text my mom. Mom's 93 years old. But I can call her. I can send her something in the mail. I can talk to her. And get off my duff and go talk to her instead of just wanting it to just happen automatically. So there's some, you know, boots on the ground kind of stuff that have to happen to keep people involved.
Good.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Albany.
Okay.
Thank you. Joe. Give you a few minutes to say what you want to say.
I'm not sure what else I can say besides what you read my thing to where I'm happy to be in the town of Daniel. I have a great house on 3000 South, and I have made it a goal since I moved out here to make friends with my neighbors, and I got the best neighbors. As a matter of fact, some people would think, and it's like the ones I communicate with the least are the Mifflins, who live right across the street. And this week, we had a cool cat. Its name was Smokey, and it was gray, and it had a cool personality. And anyway, Smokey came up missing last weekend, and we texted the Martins, who live in Kit Banger's old house, who they're my friends, and he works with me on a daily basis. And anyway, he came in the office on Monday and he said, "Hey, Smokey's in heaven." I'm like, "Oh, that's where Smokey's at." And he's like, "It got hit and Mifflin's didn't want your kids to see it, so they went out and scraped it off the road." And it's like, that's my neighbors. That's the ones I talk to the least. But that's my neighbor, so I'm super happy to be in the town of Daniel. And it's hard for me to come back to say, it's like, yeah, Bruce Jensen and my dad were high school friends, graduated 60 some odd. And it's like, it is possible for my dad and me to have the same best friend, just Bruce Jensen. So anyway, ask me what you want to ask me.
Thank you. So I'll ask you the same question I've asked everybody. What is your vision of the town of Daniel in the next 2 to 5 years? Where do you see the town of Daniel?
Oh, but my dreams are so big that I would need all y'all to bring me back down. So to me, oh my heck, I see so many things. I think that we need to have a better relationship and more seats at the table for the things that happen. Not just the airport and airport expansion. To tell you the truth, I lived on, like I said, I lived over on 600 West, and one of the first houses I built as a contractor, I put it up for sale. And this is a story that I almost want to cry because of how this happened. So I'm young, in my early 20s, and I had a little house I put up for sale, and it fell out of contract because, and the people wrote with the realtor why it fell out of contract, they said it was too close to the railroad. And I'm like, the Heber Creeper? You didn't buy the house because it was too close to the Heber Creeper? Like the old 618, like the friend that never goes away, like the whistle in the distance. It's like, you didn't buy the house because of that? What does that have to do with the town of Daniel? And it's like, I actually personally don't have a problem with the sound of a plane flying in and out. I look at those planes and I'm like, it's pretty cool. But I do think that the town of Daniel should have more say in the fact where in the property behind me, there's an arbitrary line Heber City drew, and the town of Daniel didn't have jack squat to come back and say, what are we doing? How come Heber City's coming in? Not that Heber City's not my enemy. Heber City's my friend. But we didn't have any seat at the table there to say, hey, can we work out where this line that just cuts a 70-acre piece of property east to west just arbitrarily? So I want to see more involvement there. I would love to see and say, hey, right now the legislature, this is just a few examples, the legislature came back and they dedicated $30 million. And if my numbers are off, the sentiment's correct. If it's like, Gerald, that was only $15 million, it's a lot of money to improvements down to Deer Creek, and a lot of those are going to happen at Deer Creek Island Resort. I would love to go to the Division of Natural Resources and say, hey, wouldn't it be cool for you guys to put a, right here, Deer Creek Island Resort, the dock of the bay, and it's like, put a turnout over here and maybe a parking lot, and maybe we can have some of the people start to access some of that DNR property from that side versus everything up Big Hollow Road every summer night, like all night long. And it's like, we're not gonna make that happen if we don't ask. Someone's gonna have to come back, and it's like, they got $30 million to spend, maybe a nice parking lot, a new trail, not to get rid of that, but there's a lot of traffic that goes up Big Hollow Road, and it's like, maybe we could share that. That's something that comes back to say, that money's out there waiting to be spent. That was allocated. I've talked with John Wagstaff, because he runs that. Wagstaffs are, if you don't know Wagstaff, you don't know Daniels, and they're the town of Daniel, and so coming back, that's one thing. I am proud of, and some of you have heard this story, my wife is from the Uinta Basin, and she was born and raised, grew up in Roosevelt, and when I started dating her and I went out there, I got kind of pissed because my father-in-law wouldn't share the remote. Freaking guy wouldn't let me choose any channels. And so I got mad and I started looking around. I was like, I'm building my own house out here. So after Thanksgiving, when I can go to my own house and I can choose what football game we're watching, what we're gonna do. So I went and I found a little town called Mighton City, and it's poor, and it struggles. And I found out you could buy a lot in Mighton City. And I started building little houses out there because I wanted to stay in one, and every time I'd get one finished, someone would come and rent it from me, and oil field executives and that sort of thing. And so I worked hand in hand with the town and the mayor, and I'm super proud of what I did out there. And all I did was trying to build me a house, but I built some of my most complimented projects in the town of Mighton. And I say that because there was a situation where the town of Mighton had, they were using some grant money to be able to produce some affordable houses in their town. But there was an old building they had, and Mighton is set up with 9 lots on each side of a block. And there was a whole half a block for sale, 9 lots. And they had grant money to buy it, but there was one house on it. And the grant said you can't displace people using housing money. You can't eliminate housing with housing money. So they needed a private partner to come in. And this was not even contractual. This was sitting down with the mayor and the city council. I said, I'm buying it. I bought it as an individual. It's the only house I've ever seen that actually had a true dirt floor. There was carpet, and you pulled it back, and there was dirt. There was nothing. And I didn't want anything to do with something like that. I was building cute little foundation site-built houses. I bought the 9 lots. I tore the house down. A year later, they then could buy all the 9 lots with the grant money because there wasn't a house on. And the reason why they couldn't buy the other 8 is because one person owned the whole half of the block. And they had another contractor come in. It wasn't me. And I made a little tiny bit of money back then. It's like, I think I made like $8,000. That was a lot of money, and I was so happy for it. And we came in, and it's like they now have 9 houses on that lot of low income, of affordable, attainable housing. And so to me, I come back to say that was an example of working with people. I think that there's money out there. I would love to see someplace in the town. It's like, I'd love to have our own building. Town of Daniel, city offices. And maybe we could get with the Erickson Foundation and say, hey, could we, right there, next to me, that'd be my neighbor if we did that. These are big dreams, big goals. I thought there was a chance we could partner with the owner of the trailer court on the corner of Daniel Road and 3000 South and seeing if we could do some swap and trade and maybe figure out how to help improve the quality of living right there. That's unfortunately, property values, it seemed like that's gonna be tougher to make that happen now, but I wouldn't give up on that. Something simple that I would wanna see, and again, like, I want you guys to do all these things without me. I'd love to see just the shoulders of our roads. I'd like to see 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 loads of road base. Let's just grade out 3 feet on the shoulder a little bit. I mean, if you're riding a bike, if anybody's ridden a bike or walked a dog, it's like, there's a few areas, and it's like, I don't know what we need to do. I also want to see, and I think this is totally possible, that I want there to be a board with the county, that Daniel has at least one or two, or probably the majority of the seats of the boards, to say a solid waste board. We have no say in what happens at the transfer station. That's in our town. It's like, we could come back and have a governing board of coming in to say, with the county of Wasatch County, to say, we want to come in and help with you guys making some of the decisions. Because for me, this is an example of why I want that. It doesn't make any sense to me that the free dump passes they've crammed into a 3-week period. And you have to have a pickup truck. And it's like, I, at one point in my construction career, owned 9 dump trailers. And I never denied anybody from using them, ever. If someone said, hey Joe, can I borrow one of your dump trailers for the weekend? I've never charged somebody for a dump trailer. I'm down to 3 dump trailers now. And it's like, in years previous, I probably lent those dump trailers out dozens upon dozens and dozens of times. And now, you can't even ask me for one of my dump trailers to haul your crap off when the county has their free dump day, because you have to have a pickup truck. And you go down there and you say, hey, what was the reasoning on this? And it's just so convoluted. And they're my friends. I don't have a single person down there that, my biggest problem of going to the transfer station is I can't get out of there without bullshitting with people for 30 minutes.
I'm going to cut you right there. I listen to you all night, but we're going to kind of get back on it.
So I'm coming back to say, we don't have, like, I'm only saying that because in the fact where it's like, I want to come in and say, it would help our, one of the main thoroughfares in our town to help the county say, can you just have this, that you get a dump pass, and you can use it 365 days, and you just can dump it whenever, versus them cramming that into a three-week period where it looks like the Indy 500 on 3000 South? Those are probably 10% of my ideas for Daniels.
Appreciate that. We'll let Mary ask 10%. Her question, and then we'll move forward.
What's your top one, your top priority?
My top priority is coming back to say you can't solve everything with codes. I'm a general contractor, and the codes that we deal with, like I actually was going to bring one because I had a feeling that was going to come up, and it's like the building code is 900 pages. That's for the residential. And so you can't fix everything with codes. One thing, so I had multiple people ask me to come and either run, and I'm not sure if this is the right timing for me. My answer to your question is the fact where it's like, I went to a council meeting a long time ago, so very few people are going to even remember this, and there was a discussion on somebody whose 5 acres was short by a few dozen feet. And it's like, come on, that's not something that you're going to sit there, and it kind of reminded me of a previous president of the United States we had who said, well, that depends on what the definition of is, and it's like, come on, this is bullcrap. Like, that lot was as close to 5 acres as you could get. Approve it. There was hours and meetings, and it had nothing to do with me. I was like the next person down on the agenda, and I'm like, this should not be that big of a deal. I think that codes are made by men. Codes are solved by men. And when I say men, I mean men and women. They're codes of man. And there's a lot of people who hide behind a code and say, well, the code says this. We'll change the code then. Change the code and come back and that's what I said in my letter. Complex problems, like how are we gonna help Heber City deal with something that's on their property and we're just the neighbors next to it? It's a complex solution to that. Simple problems, someone comes in, hey, by the way, we accidentally didn't realize we were supposed to be a 30-foot setback and we're only 29, get over it. Like, somebody cut the end of the tape off and no one realized it. That is not the stuff you go council meeting over, council meeting over, council meeting over. You get past that stuff as quick as possible. That's my top priority.
Okay.
Well, Joe, thank you for your time. I think we'll...
The only thing I can say this is what I want you to do, and that is, I remember in sixth grade, they were voting on the Valentine's dance prom. I was going to say prom queen and prom queen, but they don't have that. And I remember I was one of them, and they said, okay, put your head down and vote. And so we voted. There was me and another kid, and we were voting for Valentine's King or whatever it was. We raised our hands, and the teacher's like, well, you guys voted for each other. And to me, if we all put our heads down and raised our hand, I'd raise my hand for someone else. Meaning, there's other people here I actually think can do a better job than me. Not that I'm not confident. It's coming back to where it's like, I respect some of the other people here that have put their name up. So it's like, go with, especially, the woman on the council is like, women's intuition is sorely, sorely underrated in our society right now. It's like, go with your gut, go with what feels right. I'm gonna be friends with all y'all no matter what happens here. And if we put our heads down and vote, which I know that's not what we're doing, I would do the same thing I did in sixth grade, and that's I'd vote for the other kid, not for myself.
Maybe we ought to try that. Put our heads down and vote. Well, thank you. I appreciate all your time, every one of you. We appreciate the answers and the questions that have been and the comments that have been made. And so, I'm gonna ask Mary, and just take just a brief second, and talk just briefly the way this vote's gonna take place. And what I'm referring to is, we can vote by piece of paper, where the council that's here tonight will vote by piece of paper. Explain to us a little bit about how this vote goes, if you would.
Do you want us to do it secret? Is that
yes.
What you're saying? We are bound by a state code. That's why we are doing this process this way. It may seem really strange to everyone, but we actually have to do it by code. We had to interview our candidates. The code doesn't say whether we need to take an oral vote or a secret ballot vote, and the mayor has just said that he'd like to do the secret ballot. So unless somebody has some objection to that, now would be the time to say if you do.
So we're gonna move forward now, and we're gonna take that vote.
So we may need to narrow things down, and we shall see. Just put it in that, and we'll have them.
Do you want me to read them off one by one?
Yes.
Barry Dixon. Barry Dixon. Stephanie Grady.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Okay. So, do we make a motion on the vote?
I don't think we need to.
Okay. Very good. I'm just asking because I want to make sure that I do things correctly. Still learning. So, okay, appreciate that. We'll now move forward to agenda item number 3, the swearing in of the new council member. So, Barry, if you'll come forward, we'll turn the time over to Lynn.
Right here, if you would, Mr. Dixon. I'll just have you read this, fill in your name in the blank space, if you will raise your right hand, and go ahead and read the oath.
I, Barry Dixon, do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state, and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Thank you. Do you want to sign that? Sir?
Agenda item number 4, and Mary's going to take care of this for us. Possible discussion of grandma, and then we're going to discuss that right now. So,
this was, I'm very cognizant of how important everyone's time is, and so we don't want to waste time. We have a few minutes, and I just wanted to cover this. Last meeting, we talked about the Open and Public Meetings Act. So now tonight, I want to just give you just a teeny little bit about the GRAMA Act, and that stands for Government Records and Government Records and Access Management Act. And this is the state code that it's 63G-2, and I've got it with me. It's like 56 pages worth, but it is the code that covers access to all the public records. Every entity has a records officer. Normally for us, this would be our clerk. It could be another officer too. It depends on who we assign to do that. But that person then has some training, and every record with the town then is classified under 4 different categories. There's public, private, controlled, and protected. And that is, the public records are available to the public at all times. Every member of the public is entitled to see every record that we have designated as a public record. And we have an office. We keep those records in the office. Anyone can come in during the office hours and have access to those.
A lot of those records are kept online, such as the minutes, the recordings, the code. All of those kinds of things are online and available to anyone at any time if they want. The town is not required to put together information that is not already contained in a document, but we can do that if we want to. We also can charge a fee. We can't charge a fee for just looking something up, but we can charge a fee for if it's a lot of duplicating, or if we have to go to a lot of trouble, a lot of work, we can then, we do have a code for that, that we passed several years ago. I just wanted everyone to be familiar with this, because the persons on the council and on the planning commission will be actually generating some of those records. And so I want you to be careful about how you say things, what you say, because those go into recordings, and we want to be sure that we are saying what we need to say, but not crossing the line into something that's not legal to be saying. The other thing about it is that we want to be sure in our minutes, we talked about that in open public meeting, we want to be sure again that we get into those minutes the things that we really want to be there. We want to be sure of that. And keep in mind, too, that we eventually will get all of our emails up and running. Everybody will have access to the email. And when we do, anything that we put into those emails are also considered a public record. And so you're going to be sure that what you're saying there is, you know, if a judge comes and wants to see your records, so you want to be sure you've said what you need to say and not gone over the line. Anybody have any questions about that? Like I say, this is one of those things that we have a lot of things that we have to learn, and this is just a little time filler that I thought might be a good thing to do tonight.
Okay. Yep. Thank mm-hmm. you. I appreciate Mary. She's knowledgeable about a lot of this stuff, and we rely heavily upon her, so appreciate her time in doing that. We'll go ahead then and call for a motion to adjourn this meeting.
So moved.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on that?
Nope.
Okay. Let's go ahead then and vote.
Mary, aye.
Scott, aye.
Robin, aye.
Barry, aye.
Very good. That closes this meeting, and we'll turn.